Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
Well, that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
All right, it's time for another week of the N4G Radio, and if you have any background noise going on, you'll have to excuse us. We have somebody, and I hear it already, and we have somebody sitting in an airport terminal who will be with us for a short little while until he has to get on the plane. What the hell? It sounds like a speed bag.
Yeah, I don't know. It was quiet here like 2 seconds ago. God, darn it.
We're very professional.
Yes, looks like we have a special guest.
Yes.
We do have a special guest in the PA announcer.
Yeah.
5 minutes left.
Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway, we have GambusCon.
Greetings, programs.
And we have the Wombats.
Hello.
We have Frustrated Fury.
Hello.
Who has been quieter than I have ever heard him be.
Dude, I'm fucking tired. I worked morning shift yesterday, went home for 8 hours, then worked night shift.
Oh,
here I
geez.
Am on the N4G podcast.
See, that's dedication.
Yeah.
And also with us, we have John W.
Hello.
And the PA announcer again.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. And finally, sitting at the airport waiting to come home from his... His hell of a weekend.
XP weekend.
His XP weekend is Michael. Yes. Michael Futter.
Why, hello everyone. How are you?
I have two.
You can tweet me in with your answer.
I have two dead, tired people on this show, so that should be fun.
It's awesome.
But just in case he has to go abruptly when they call his plane.
Exactly.
We will start the show by letting Mike talk a little bit about what he did this weekend.
Oh, boy. First, you know, it was an amazing experience. You know, I've mentioned on the show before that I am not one of the Call of Duty diehards, but I have so much appreciation for what goes into the design mentality for these games now. If you haven't... What?
Sounds like John's wanking in the background. What's going on? Yeah.
Nothing to do with me.
Man, everybody's ruined my podcast recording stuff. Dang. Yeah, it's, you know, it's really cool. Up on the site, you know, we've got, I kind of did a recap of the press briefing, and then my multiplayer impressions are up with some highlighting of the new modes that they were showing off at the event. And I actually had an opportunity to be in a small group interview with Michael Condry, who is the co-founder and the chief operating officer at Sledgehammer. And if you're not aware, Sledgehammer is handling the multiplayer for Modern Warfare 3. And there are some pretty significant changes to the multiplayer this year. I would suggest going and checking out the impressions and the press briefing, especially because they talked a lot about the things that they're doing and how they're responding to fans. And you know, one thing that definitely came out is how much they are listening to fans. I mean, he was pretty honest with me and said, "Look, you know, we would never make the decision to put dedicated servers in the PC version if it weren't for the fans, because it's a gateway to piracy. It's well known." Nobody likes seeing their game pirated. It just makes it that much easier. But clearly, PC gamers want dedicated servers. Who are we to say no? We really, you know, we really took it on the chin with Modern Warfare 2. So here we go. Dedicated servers are back in. Bam. We're going to be putting up, probably when I get back tonight, assuming that I'm conscious, I took some footage of the facilities and, you know, kind of all the different things that were available. There was this amazing Jeep experience where they took you out in Jeep, and then it was very scripted. But they kind of took you over huge bumps. There were explosions. There was gunshots. And then at one point towards the end, they kick your ass out of the Jeep. And you have to actually follow a real Navy SEAL team through a compound for a data extraction. So they split us into two teams. One team is looking for software, hard drives, and one team is looking for a laptop. And you pretty much, you've got to listen to these guys. I mean, it's loud. They give you earplugs and everything. And then you get back in the Jeep and kind of you're going through you're coming, you know, you're going through deep water. You're going around fire. It was just really intense. The scrapyard paintball map was really, really cool. 7-minute game. I was really lucky with my press badge. I was able to get ahead of the lines for the most part. But there were people waiting hours and hours and hours to go and do these things. And at first, I kind of looked around and said, you know, I'm not sure there's a lot to do here. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it took a long time to get in line or to go through the line to play. And there was Modern Warfare 2 stations and Black Ops stations and zombie survival stations. And of course, you know, Spec Ops for Modern Warfare 3 and the new modes like Kill Confirmed. And I don't think they had Team Defender up, though, which is the other new mode. There is a mode that's a little bit like Killzone 3, where it's kind of got assassination missions and kind of pops things into the game as you're going through. You know, I nutted up and I went down the zip line. I've got tons of stuff to give away, and we'll be talking about how we do that. Kind of the most limited of the limited edition stuff that I have to give away is there were patches for each of the different things, and I've got, I think, 4 full sets, but I've got a bunch of extras, so we're going to be figuring out how to give those away. We're going to hold some stuff back for the game's release, and we're going to do a gamer night, of course, with Modern Warfare 3 when it comes out, and we're going to be doing this throughout the fall. So, I mean, that's kind of the quick recap of a whirlwind weekend that also included Dropkick Murphys and Kanye and lots of cool people from the industry and fans of the series that I got a chance to meet.
Awesome.
Yeah, sorry for the monologue there.
Oh, no, you're fine. That's why we sent you.
Yeah.
So you could come back and tell us all about your drunken endeavors.
Now it wasn't that drunken until going to bed at 4 o'clock last night and getting up at 7 this morning and hanging out down in the lobby, rolling with my homies.
In your Jeep.
In my Jeep. In my limited edition Modern Warfare 3 Jeep Rubicon.
With your Mountain Dew limited edition cans.
Yes, and my Doritos and my Cheetos. And my Fritos.
Doritos.
It's like the whores version of a video game.
What, you're talking about the event? Or you're talking about...
I'm talking about all the marketing crap.
Yeah. Oh. The marketing stuff was insane. I mean, obviously. But it was cool. You know, I got a chance to meet some really cool people. There were, you know, tons and tons of people. I think they said there were, like, between 5 and 6,000 people at the event.
Cool.
And people were buying merchandise. And that's the impressive part because, you know, T-shirts were $30. Hoodies were, like, $70. And I think the cheapest thing they had some keychains for, like, $5. I was shocked that they were that cheap. So.
Oh, wow.
It's the marketing machine,
baby. I do have a couple of T-shirts to give away. And I have... the swag bags are pretty cool. They're actually, like, those heavy heavy canvas string backpack things, if you know what I'm talking about. So we have 2 of those. God, what else did I grab? I've got some Burger Town T-shirts. Those are pretty neat. Yeah, stuff. Oh, and I have 2 posters that are getting mailed to me.
And
there's just no way I could fit them on the plane without folding them up and destroying them.
All right. So, do you hear that noise?
All right. Yep. Yeah, that's somebody walking down the tile thing with their wet bag.
Nice.
Flap, 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 flap.
Alrighty, so we're probably going to put you on mute here.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to board, so...
Alright, well, there we go.
Well, I will. I will catch up with you guys soon. Enjoy the rest of the show, everybody. And hit me up on Twitter if you have any questions about the game, about the event. I'd be glad to answer anything. And we'll get that video up so you can see what the facilities look like. If not tonight, then definitely early tomorrow morning.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Mike, and have a good trip home.
All right. All right. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
See you
later.
Yeah.
All right. So there was a little bit about our Call of Duty endeavor for the weekend.
Oh.
Hopefully he had a good time, which I'm sure he did. You know.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, with that said, we're going to move on with the regular flow of the show. And with that, I will start off with Mr. GamesCon and what you've been fondling this week.
All right. First off, I downloaded the 10 free games on the 3DS due to the fact that I am a ambassador.
Sounds so much better than it actually really is.
I can't believe they actually like give you a certificate that you can download. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
Ooh, look at me. Let me print this out. I'm so cute.
Yeah, I'm an ambassador. Ooh.
You cheated out of $50. Congratulations.
$80.
$80. Congratulations.
Yep.
It should actually say you are an ambassador douchebag.
Nice.
Yeah, but, I got one too, John.
But yeah, I downloaded all 10 games and I played probably about half of them. I played a little bit of Super Mario Brothers. Played some Zelda 2. Played some Donkey Kong Jr., Metroid, and I've come to the conclusion that the 3DS D-pad just sucks, man. It really does. That D-pad is horrendous. When I was playing Super Mario Brothers, and I was wrestling with the controls on the D-pad. You know, that game in itself is super hard. Even when you have a really good controller, it is super hard. So then I went from the D-pad to the analog disc, and it was a little bit better. However, the controls just weren't tight. They were more responsive than the D-pad, but they weren't as tight as a D-pad. Case an example, like if you're on a block and you want to jump like a little bit outward, but then like control your fall to where you land on something else, kind of like push one way, pull the other way real quick, you know, in mid jump. When I would do that with the analog slider disc, when I would land on the block, I would end up walking right off the block. So it was a very loose control. Whereas it's kind of weird because the analog stick is very loose, whereas the D-pad is very, very tight but non-responsive enough because it's such a small D-pad. I mean, they really should have included a larger D-pad with this system. It just doesn't, either option just doesn't control right. It does not feel like an NES controller. And another thing is that the buttons, the button layout for like Mario in particular just didn't feel right either. And the buttons, I mean, here's an interesting aspect because I never really, like playing 3DS games and playing DS games, I never really came to the conclusion that, you know, the controls suck because the games themselves, how should I say, are much easier to control than the old Nintendo games were back in the 80s. Because games back in the 80s, I mean, it's like another level of precision gaming that we have not seen since that decade. So I was comfortable with the 3DS controls until I started playing the Virtual Console NES games, which basically, you know, it's playing, you know, it's like playing old school but with new school tech. So it kind of feels lopsided, the gameplay does. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty nostalgic. It's pretty cool that you're able to, that the ambassadors or the suckers who paid $250 for the system, you know, they got something out of it. And it's cool. It's a nice gesture. However, I think it's unfortunate that they weren't allowed, they didn't include any third party games. That would have been cool if maybe, one of the games like Dragon Warrior or Final Fantasy, you know, games that don't require, you know, pixel counting precision controls. Heck, I would love some of those Castlevania games, except they're pretty tough as well. But yeah, I played some of that.
Castlevania games didn't have the precision jumping.
Yeah.
Those were, you jumped and you're going to land wherever you jumped.
For exactly. For you being a sucker, though, they should have given you Wizards and Warriors.
I like that game.
Yeah, everybody liked that game. Nobody ever beat it.
I did.
Yeah, you're special.
Yeah, I actually think of it as one of my crowning achievements of beating a game, because that scaling the castle stage was one of the toughest things I've ever done in a video game. But yeah, other than that, I played some iPhone games. I played a game called Card Combat. It's spelled with a K.
Oh, that's fancy.
Yeah, that's fancy. It's a really cool game, though. It's kind of like Magic the Gathering. Basically, you play the part of a wizard, and you have hit points. You're playing against another wizard, and they also have hit points. And you're playing with cards, and the cards are basically summon creatures or characters or spells, and you attack the other wizard while they attack you, and you also try to lay down like a little small army that protects you. It's a good game. It really is. I didn't play much of it, but what I did play of it, I thought it was really fun. Another game I played was Jetpack Joyride.
I've heard of this game.
Yeah, it's from the same developer of Gravity Man.
Okay.
Which was also a really good game. I would consider this a part of the running genre game of iPhone, because there's a lot of games out now where the characters are automatically running. Yeah, it's one of those type of games.
I hate those games.
I'll put it this way. I kind of hate those type of games too, but when done right, they're enjoyable. I think Gravity Man was a really good game, but I think Jetpack Joyride is actually better. It's probably the best running game I've played, because not only are you running, but you just hold down on the screen and you automatically elevate with the jetpack. The main character has a jetpack. The graphics are really good too. It's got really good visuals. It's 2D sprites. They look like Super Nintendo era graphics. Really nice, clean, crisp visuals. It's really fun. You collect coins, and you avoid obstacles, and you die a lot. You know, it's a pretty tough game, but you also get to go to the store, where you can actually upgrade. You can upgrade your jetpack. You can upgrade to like armor. You can have like different types of armor and stuff like that. So that it's tougher to kill you. So it's a pretty interesting game, and you also level up as well. I'm not entirely sure how it helps you when you level up, but I leveled up my character. So it's got a little bit more depth to it than most of the running games. And like I said, the visuals are really nice. Reminds me, visually style, I'll probably say like Mega Man X. Reminds me of Mega Man X. So it's a good game. And the last iPhone game I played was a game called Super Mega Worm. Have any of you played that?
Sounds like a movie John watched last week.
Well, yeah.
Okay, the main premise of Super Mega Worm is in the year 2011.
Of course.
Yeah, Mother Nature has grown so...
No, wait. Somebody made a futuristic game about this year?
Yes.
It's in October, so it's future.
Okay.
So it's like in the future, you know, the Earth is so polluted, and it shows like from like the year 1700 all the way to the year 2011, like real fast, and like the whole planet just turns brown by the year it's by the time it's 2011 because it's so polluted. And Mother Nature's last ditch effort to eradicate mankind is the Super Mega Worm.
And release plants to make them kill each other.
Yeah, it's
never mind. That was a bad joke. Fucking M. Night Shyamalan. I hate that man. Shyamalama ding
dong. But yeah, basically, you take control of this giant worm. And it eats people. And when you eat people, it shows blood, and it's kind of gory. And you when you kill people, you actually see little dialogue boxes of like their last things that they say.
Oh, Jesus.
Like like one guy says, "I'll never cheat on my wife ever again."
That's because you're dead.
Yeah, right before you eat them, he says that. And there's even a lady with a baby carriage running away from you.
Oh my god,
dude, that's sick.
And the last thing she says is, "I just got my nails done."
Are you sure this is a game and not just some kind of cheese dream that you had?
This isn't Slavery the Game, is it?
Oh, God.
the game is, like, you know, just real silly.
That's not silly.
Really?
Eating babies is not silly.
Thing is, the game looks like a Super Nintendo game. So it's all pixel art. It's got kind of this weird music in it, and it's just bizarre. It's just real bizarre, but it's got kind of a charm to it.
Did you pay for this?
No, I got the light version.
Okay.
The full version is like $1.
That's $1 more than it should be.
You ought to play it. It's
no,
it's
I shouldn't.
It's pretty interesting. But yeah, that's the last iPhone game that I played. And the only console game that I played this week was Deus Ex. I actually started all over because I didn't want to play it on easy. I wanted to play it on normal difficulty. Man, it's hard, man. It's tough.
And you'll never finish it.
I don't think that.
I did find out something interesting, though. In the second area, when you're like exploring the office where you could like talk to people and stuff, if you end up talking to them for a long time and then you go on to the mission where the hostages are being held, they'll actually tell you that the hostages were already executed. However, on my second playthrough, I didn't talk to anybody. I only talked to this specific guy on the second floor, and I went straight to the mission, and they were still alive, and I saved them. So, even that early in the game, there's still a significant difference that you can make. Just the fact that you talk to people in the office before the mission actually determined, like, the lives of these people that were being held hostages. I just thought that was pretty interesting how that played out. And I found a way into their room where they were in the same room with a bomb, and I defused the bomb and I saved them. So I'm on my way to the some kind of technology or something that they're trying to keep from getting into the wrong hands. So I'm still in the second mission of the game after I started all over again, but I just thought it was cool that I actually made a difference the second time playing it. And I really like the game so far. It can be overwhelming. If you don't have the right weapons, and another thing, the ammo is really scarce in this game. It really is. It's not really the game that you can just go guns blazing.
I do it.
Okay, well, guns a-blazing and not miss. Because, I like to play the occasional first-person shooter, but I'm not really good at them. So, I don't know. I just didn't want to play it on easy. I wanted a challenge. So I guess I'm going to be getting a challenge. But, that's what I played. And, on a side note, on Netflix, I watched the King of Fighters movie. Have any of you seen that?
Wow. No.
No, of course I have.
I purposely avoided it.
Was it got Ray Park in it?
Yeah, Ray Park's in it.
Woo.
I watched pretty much the first 15 minutes of the movie, and I came to the conclusion that the whole movie could be Ray Park just doing cartwheels and backflips, and I think that would have been actually a better movie than what was the actual case. The movie completely sucked. It was terrible. The dialogue was horrendous. It made the first Mortal Kombat movie look like Citizen Kane.
Oh my god. I watched the whole thing, Gambus.
I don't know. I mean, I would say King of Fighters is probably a hair better than Mortal Kombat Annihilation. So, not nearly as crazy and outrageous, but kind of like straddling the line of trying to still be serious, which just makes it totally absurd, I think. But, so I watched like 15 minutes of that. I just couldn't take it anymore. But I did see something I'm guessing I'm late to the party that I really, really enjoyed. And that was the Mortal Kombat web series. The live action web series.
That's quite good.
Yeah, I watched all the episodes yesterday, and I was like, wow, some really interesting takes on characters.
Yeah, let's keep that to yourself.
Have you watched it yet?
No, I refuse to until the Blu-ray comes out. I don't watch shit on my computer.
Really?
Nope. Yeah, I watched about half of them.
I'm waiting on the Blu-ray. It's $15 bucks. Yeah. Screw it.
I watched about half of them, too.
When's the Blu-ray come out?
November, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. I liked it. I liked a lot. The first couple episodes, I was kind of like, it's good. It's good. Dude, it gets better. I was like, holy cow. Some really weird takes on certain characters. I'm not going to give anything away. I'll just say it's something. It makes the original Mortal Kombat movie look amateurish in comparison. And I really enjoyed it. So that's my overall current fondling and watching. And of course, I'll be playing some more Deus Ex this upcoming week. And I'd also like to start playing some more El Shaddai.
Giant worm.
Yep. And a giant worm.
Worm eater.
Yep.
The fuck, man. I swear to you, only you. I swear. Only you. Anyway, with that said, I'm going to move over to Drew, who I hope is still awake.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Despite me being very, very tired, I did play actually a good amount of stuff. I played this Gaia 4, an Unforgotten Promise? Or a Promise Unforgotten?
I don't remember. Your review was average anyway.
Yeah, my review was standard. Great score, but just standard review, even though it was 3.5 pages long and it explained every single thing that happens in the game. So, that game is pretty freaking amazing. In fact, I will go ahead and say right now, it's probably going to hit my top 10 of the year.
Huh.
As of right now, it's in my top 10. Now, it may change, but I think as far as Japanese RPGs go, aside from maybe Dark Souls, but that's a very different style of RPG, this is probably the JRPG of the year.
I thought it was an SRPG.
That's the same thing. It's made... It's made in Japan, JRPG, same thing.
No.
No.
So a strategy RPG is different from a Japanese RPG?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it might be a Japanese strategy role-playing game, but when you say JRPG, most people think of games like Final Fantasy.
Okay.
Like the original Final Fantasy.
And not Final Fantasy Tactics.
RPG, then. If people who play Final Fantasy will still like this game. I'm not kidding. I never played this guy game before, and I played this game, and it's pretty freaking amazing.
Well, this guy has always been really good if you're into that kind of game.
Yeah. I just think if you're a fan of RPGs made in Japan
that have strategy involved.
That perhaps has strategy involved. You should definitely check this game out. You can read my review on ZTGD.com. I gave it a fantastic score, and I stick to my score, even though I think I'll probably have the highest score.
Yeah, I think you will, but that's okay. Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed this game. I mean, I was not expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. But yeah, I played a lot of that. I'll continue to play that. You don't really finish that game. You go back and play it again and again and again. But, played that. I'm playing another game for review. I'm playing Persona 2 Innocent Sin on the PSP.
PSP.
Yep. Played a lot of it since I worked yesterday twice. And, got a good 16 hours of that game in.
Did you work?
Yeah, I sat there. And we're not busy on Saturdays. I mean, it's busy, quote unquote, we're closed on Saturdays. So we do absolutely nothing. But that game, that's hard to explain that game. That game is very old school, like I said before. You don't feel as connected to the story as you would in Persona 3 and Persona 4. I think it has a somewhat decent story. It's just, how do I explain that? It's very hard to explain. There's no real rhyme or reason for what these people are doing. a bad guy shows up. We somehow have the power to summon personas. Let's go beat him, and that's it. They don't really try to explain anything, and it just doesn't feel connected. That's the best way to put it. The combat's pretty good. I really like the whole fusion. What you can do is, like, if you use magic spells like fire or ice and stuff like that, if you do them in certain orders, you actually do combo attacks. So if my main character uses a fire attack and then one of the sub characters uses an ice attack, it could, if it's done in the correct order, it could do like a combo attack, and both of them make this like high powered attack. And so and there's millions of combinations, and it's very, very extensive, very complex. The only gripe I have with that game is it has random battles, and I cannot stand random battles. I hate it with a passion, because it seems like every single dungeon, quote unquote dungeon, that I go into is a friggin' maze. So I get lost, and every 5 steps I'm getting into a battle, and it's just,
yeah.
Exactly. And it gets on your nerves. But that game is made for level grinding. I mean, you're supposed to grind a few levels and learn, get better personas and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's decent. You got to be a hardcore JRPG player.
Hardcore?
Yeah, hardcore. You have to. The casual RPG players are not really going to get into this.
And you want me to play these games?
No. Persona 3 and Persona 4 are different. The Persona 2 and 1 are very hardcore. I mean, these games were made in, like, you know, PlayStation 1 era. So, you know, it's a little different.
Back when we all didn't have jobs?
Yes. And we had time to actually play those games. Luckily, I have a job that doesn't care. Or I guess they do care, they just don't know about it.
I'll be sure not to say anything.
Yeah, don't say it on Twitter either, like that.
Yeah.
But, anyway, I played a lot of that, actually. I should have my review. I don't know, I know I'm not embargoed, but that game doesn't come out the 20th, so I may give it another week or so and just see if it does a little bit more for me. As of right now, it's an okay game. I think there's a lot of people out there that would enjoy it, and there's a lot of people out there that would have a very difficult time getting into it. I reviewed another game for the PSP.
PSP.
Mm-hmm. It's Kladden X2. Kladden obviously is the sequel to Kladden. This is an RPG.
It's nice that they let you know right in the title.
Yeah, it does. I'd say it is an RPG, but it's a very, very different take on an RPG. To be honest with you, Kladden X2 is basically Kladden with 2 times more stuff. That's exactly how they market it.
Damn, they are good with their subtitles.
They are. And that's basically what it is. I mean, they do have a different story, but the story takes, you know, it goes a little to the wayside due to the fact that you don't have characters anymore. You just make all your characters, so none of your characters really talk, and so you have a limited story. Which, don't get me wrong, the first story in Kladden 1 was, you know, it was kind of a throwaway as well. But that game is all about doing dungeons, random dungeons, and story dungeons. When you're in a dungeon, it plays a lot like a Zelda game, and I mean, it's old school fun, and if you're really into, gotta get the best stuff, you gotta get, you know, get just that higher of a level, and oh, I gotta learn these really cool things called magic circles, where your party members aren't necessarily with you, they kind of like your shields, and they also buff the main character. It can be very complex at times, but it's actually really, really fun, and really satisfying, to say the least. I think the only thing is X2, if you've played Kladden 1 and, you know, yeah, sure, I could play another Kladden game, I guess pick up X2, to be honest with you. Yeah, they add more weapons, more magic circles, more spells and stuff like that, but it's not really going to knock your socks off. It feels more like an expansion pack than it does a sequel. But it's still a great game, and if you haven't played Kaladin, then X2 is the one to get. But, yeah, I reviewed that. I don't know when that would probably go live, but, yeah, that was it. Let's see. Another thing. Oh, yeah, I'm working on. I played World Heroes, an old Neo Geo title. It's one of those the Neo Geo Station games. It's, you know, I'm a believer in the Neo Geo Station, but I'm not really a believer in bringing these obscure games over because...
Dude, World Heroes was awesome in the arcade.
It may have been, man, but that game does not hold up. It's, you know, there's only three attack buttons, one for punch, one for kick, and one for throw. And I don't. To me, it just feels like a knockoff of Street Fighter.
Well, that's kind of what it was.
I mean, you got your Ryu character, you got your Ken character who plays exactly like Ryu, but a little different. You know, it's like apparently Doc Brown's in it because that guy, they kind of mauled him after Doc Brown, and he's a time traveler, and you're going through time, and you can, you know, you play as like Genghis Khan, or you can play as Joan of Arc, but they're not really named the same people, but they're modeled after the same people. Main character's Hitori Hanzo. So, I mean, yeah, if you want to go back and play some of those older fighting games, I guess that'd be good for you. The good thing is, since it is the Neo Geo Station, it lets you save wherever you want to. It has actually decent online play. The problem is nobody's playing this game online. I got into one match. Granted, that one match was lag-free. They have finally found a netcode that works. Thank God. Let's hope King of Fighters 13 has that. And, I mean, if you really want to play that game, go ahead. it's not a must-have title from the Neo Geo Station. You know, there's a lot more titles out there for the Neo Geo Station that I could definitely suggest to people. But this is one for the, I guess, the collectors, I'll put it that way.
So did you actually play this on a Neo Geo machine?
No. Wait, what do you mean? Yeah, like recent? Like
No, I mean the game, World Heroes, you said you played it like on what system did you play it on?
PlayStation 3.
PSN.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah.
The Neo Geo Station is like a hub for a whole bunch of games. Like they have the baseball stars 1 and 2 are on there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like a bunch of King of Fighters, King of Fighters 95. I reviewed on there. They got a bunch of games on there. I know Metal Slug's on there as well. And what the station does is it lets you like do replays, so you can like record actual gameplay of you playing, and you can save those replays and you can watch them later. It also adds online multiplayer for most games, and for the most part, the multiplayer is actually very well done. There's no lag at all, and it also it's kind of like I won't say emulator, but it's like you can do things you normally couldn't do in a game. Like you can save. Like I was playing Baseball Stars 2, and I was halfway through a game. I was like in the fifth inning, and I could pause the game, save it. And I could come back, you know, later and bring right back where I was. So it's a very nice little hub where you can play these SNK games. But World Heroes, it's just look for my review if you're interested. Trying to think, anything else? I started up Puzzle Quest 2 for some reason.
Puzzle Quest.
Yep. You know, I'm a big fan of those games. I don't care what anybody says. It's especially with Puzzle Quest 2, since it's a lot more deep. A lot more deep.
Is that the Puzzle Quest 2 or the Galactrix one?
No, it's actually Puzzle Quest 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Galactrix played a lot differently. It was like a hexagonal board instead of a bejeweled, basically. I have both. I mean, I pretty much have every Puzzle Quest out there. But I just started up Puzzle Quest 2. I didn't get that deep into it, and I started a new character, and that game's really enjoyable. I really like the game. Other than that, I think that's pretty much it.
And what are you playing this week?
This week, Dead Island, baby. I can't wait for that game. I'm playing Dead Island nonstop. In fact, I'm off Wednesday, and I didn't even ask for that day. It's because I had to work these crazy hours yesterday. So, Tuesday night, I'm going to stay up all night long.
All night long.
Yep.
Lionel Richie, all bitch. Night. All right. With that said, I guess I'll move on to Mr. John W.
Well, I didn't play nearly as much Deus Ex as I wanted to, that's for sure. Too much to review. But I did play some more Hamilton, the puzzle game for the PSN. The review should be going up shortly. It's enjoyable. It's a little bit more fun playing co-op when you're controlling one of the characters and the person next to you on the couch is controlling the other. I was mainly Hamilton with a girlfriend playing as Sasha the Bird.
Bird.
There are certain puzzles that it really does help having a human player, and as opposed to switching between the two characters, because some of them are time-based, and there's something slightly wrong with the game where, like, if you've got a puzzle where the bird needs to pull a switch twice, but you have to switch between the bird and Hamilton, sometimes the bird will fly off, and you've got to get the bird back to the switch to pull it again, and that will often result in death. So there are a few little issues there, but playing co-op kind of sort of eliminates those. It's a fun game. It can get rather frustrating. You can end up shouting at the person you're playing with. But, you know, all in all, it's for what you pay for it. It's only a downloadable game. It's enjoyable enough. It's quirky. I have also been playing Tropico 4 for review.
Tropico!
Of course, Tropico. Nothing massively different between 4 and 3. However, some of the things that did annoy me about 3 have been resolved in 4. You kind of get more of a helping hand. There are now objectives and quests that you can take on through each of the campaign missions that will help you earn cash for the treasury or your Swiss bank account. The issue that I found most common in 3 was keeping employees working in the stores or the buildings or the hospitals. You'd pay to hire, you know, if you couldn't get somebody to work in the hospital or the clinic, you could hire somebody from overseas, and you'd pay to do that. They'd turn up for 5 minutes and then they'd resign, no matter how high I'd put the wage up. And it seemed to happen all the time. I couldn't quite get that right. It has seemed to have vanished from 4. Kind of, you know, as long as you're not being really horrible to the employees of all of the facilities there, you'll generally get them and they'll stay. Obviously, as the island that you're developing grows, you do need to pay them more money, but it's nowhere near as bad as I found it in the 3rd game. Looks wise, it's exactly the same, really. My computer only runs at a certain, you know, it's only got so much power in it, so I can't have everything on ultra. I'm sure if you had everything on ultra, it'd be very pretty, but it looks pretty good. The only other issue I kind of got with it is that the panning with your mouse tends to be rather sensitive, so you can end up flying across the screen when you're just trying to home in on a certain building. But these are small niggles. It's a pretty solid game, as with Tropico 3. The review will be going up so hopefully sometime next week. I've got to write it and play some more of it, because I've only played about 4 hours of it so far, and it's probably going to need about another 40 to actually give it a justified review. And finally, the only other thing I've been playing, again for review, is The Baconing, which is the oddest title I've ever heard for a video game. It's not even a word. The Baconing.
It's a Baconing.
Of virtue.
Well, Thongs of... Yes, I mean, I haven't played any of those games, Death Bank or Thongs of Virtue, so I've kind of come into the franchise completely new. And I think in some ways that might be beneficial to the game, because I can imagine that both Death Bank and Thongs of Virtue probably play identical to this.
Yeah, they probably do.
It's okay. It's a reasonably solid light RPG bash 'em up. There are certain niggles with it that are just weird in this day and age. For example, I don't know whether it was the same in the first two games, but you walk through treasure chests, and it's the oddest thing. Everything, you know, rocks in the scenery you can't walk into, but treasure chests you can walk right through, and it's a real pain trying to open them up, because you've got to get your position and just right. It's just little schoolboy errors, really, I suppose, of programming, but it's fun enough. The humour is what stands out the most to me. I think it's a very funny game. It's written, I mean, the character of Death Bank sort of comes across to me as very much like a Captain Quark, sort of highly drunk on his own self-worth, but it makes for very funny conversations between him and the other non-player characters. So that's probably the most, the thing that stands out the most with The Baconing. The combat is a bit hit and miss as well. You kind of can't really get any kind of satisfaction from, you don't feel like you're doing anything, because you get, you know, four or five enemies swarming around you, and you don't really feel like you're making contact with them when you're using your different weapons. And I mean, again, I would assume it's the same for the first two. You assign each of the face buttons with a particular weapon, obviously trying to maintain a good balance between the different elements and ranged weapons and stuff like that, and you just bash away at the keys when you're surrounded. But it doesn't feel solid kind of combat, which is a bit of a shame. But again, I'll hopefully have a review up on the site for that next week, where you can see what I finally think of it. And that's it. I was hoping to play some Assassin's Creed Revelations multiplayer, because I was given a code by one of our listeners, Gav Spanner. He threw me a code over, and I've downloaded it, but just haven't managed to switch it on and play any of it yet. So hopefully next week I'll get some of that in. Definitely some more Baconing and some more Tropico 4, and hopefully I do actually want to get on and play some Deus Ex again. So fingers crossed I'll get some of that done next week.
Alrighty. So now I'll move on to the Wombat.
How we living?
Lodge.
So I played several things, actually, this week. Thanks to a friend of the podcast and overall awesome dude, Mookie's Groove, I played Terraria, which is really good, but unfortunately doesn't run all that great on my really horribly awful computer. So that sort of hindered my enjoyment a little bit. But it's still really good, so I would like to play more of it. Like I said, it's been a little tough because my computer sucks. I also played the demo for Space Marine, which I think was, I really liked it. I can't wait. I should have, hopefully, my review copy here first part of next week, I hope.
I'm very interested about that, Because I got a very Gears of War from it.
See, you know what? And I've heard that from a couple other people, and I don't think I agree with it. From a gameplay standpoint, I just think it's quite a bit different. It's a lot more melee-focused than Gears of War is, and there's no cover system whatsoever.
But outside of that, it's identical.
So, well, but I mean, what's identical about it? It's a third-person shooter?
I don't know, man. I think, you know, I get more of a... You know what I feel like? It feels a little bit like Darksiders to me.
What's made by the same people?
I just don't... I don't know. I don't. I guess I don't... to me, the Gears of War is the cover system. And this game has no cover system and is focused almost exclusively... Well, not almost exclusively, but there's a pretty substantial focus on melee combat.
No, so I agree
the
that...
And the only other things that are similar to Gears of War is you have a chainsaw sword, but Warhammer's been doing that for 25 years. And your guy is big and bulky with huge armor, which Warhammer's been doing for 25 years.
He, just to me, he feels and plays exactly like a character from Gears of War. He even has the roadie run.
Well, yeah, but everybody has that. I mean, every game has that now. Deus Ex has that.
And he even has the weapon switch on the D-pad, which, when you bring it up, looks exactly like Gears of War.
Yeah, I guess maybe little things like that, I could see it. But from a gameplay standpoint, I don't feel like it's all that similar to Gears of War at all.
For me, it just felt like Gears of War Arcade. You know, because there's no cover, so you just kind of run into the fray and kill everybody. Which is fine. I see nothing wrong with the game. The game is great. I just really got a huge Gears of War vibe from it.
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree. Because, like I said, I just... To me, Gears of War is all about moving from one cover spot to the next cover spot, and there's no cover in this whatsoever. So, I guess that's the difference for me. But, I mean, I agree, there's definitely some stuff that is definitely influenced by Gears of War, but I don't feel like it's overwhelming.
I think they just took stuff that would work for this game, because Gears of War, love it or hate it, plays great.
Yeah.
So, you know, they kind of used a lot of that model, I felt. But, yeah, they took out the gameplay elements of Gears of War, which is the cover.
Right.
So, it's not a bad thing to me. I think it's great. I think it makes the game, you know, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really, I like the jump pack level as well. I'm really looking forward to playing the full version and seeing how it goes, seeing how long it is, and how well it plays for the rest of the game. And then thanks to Zero, and I have now got my copy from Gamefly, so I am playing Deus Ex Human Revolution, and I think it's incredible. I'm playing it unlike what it sounds like Zero is playing it. I'm playing it as almost a straight stealth game. I try and avoid killing people or shooting people as much as I can when I'm in the missions. And I love it. It's like I said, it's kind of like a first person Splinter Cell for me. So I'm really enjoying it so far. I love the sort of the RPG elements. I think it's great. I can't wait to play some more of it. But that pretty much wraps it up for me.
All right, future?
Well, I got a... Mr. John W. was nice enough to give me a Assassin's Creed Revelations beta code, but unfortunately I couldn't get it to work.
I bet you have to have a European one for that.
Oh, I do actually have a European account. So
try that one, because...
Maybe I will try that.
Yeah, give that a shot.
Okay, so I want to try and play the beta for that. And then more Deus Ex and some more Terraria, hopefully. That's the game plan.
Alrighty. Well, I guess I get to talk about some stuff now. Like Gambus, I got my 10 free games, played them for 5 minutes, and continued to feel like I was a dumbass.
Did they let you choose what games to get? I thought it was like a
no.
Games or something
no.
Like that they offered.
There are an extra 10 games coming that you'll be able to download as well, but they're all laid out by Nintendo, so you get no choice.
They basically just go into your download history, which they were really poor about telling people how to download that stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that you can't download them in a batch. You have to do it one at a bloody time. I know it doesn't take long, but it's a pain in the ass.
Well, because Nintendo's download system sucks.
Yep.
Wait, Nintendo has online?
Yeah, they do. It's magic. It's like voodoo. But anyway, I played Mario for all of 5 minutes and Zelda for all of 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh, this is nostalgic. I'll never play these again. Thank you. I mean, that's just the truth of it. I just won't.
Did you delete them?
No, they're still on, but I don't delete anything off that thing. It's like my PS3. I'm never going to fill it up anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not like my 360 where I have to constantly, like, pick stuff to delete.
You still having to do that?
Oh, God, yeah, every day.
Dude, seriously?
You have no idea how much shit I have on there.
Yeah, but I mean, well, maybe that's one
try,
of the reasons.
Try having a 20-gig hard drive like me. So
dude, if I had a 20-gig hard drive, I couldn't even function.
I had the 20-gig for the longest time, and finally my roommate gave me 120. Yeah, 120, and now I'll never fill that thing up.
Dude, I have 250, and I'm always low on space.
You needed to delete some stuff.
I have. I've deleted almost everything. Almost every piece of DLC that I've ever downloaded, I've deleted.
So what do you got? What's taking up all that space?
Well, I have all the arcade games still on there, which that's my next goal is to go through and delete all the ones I'm not playing.
Yeah.
So that's next on my list. But also when I play games, whatever I'm playing, I keep installed on there. So I have 8 games on there right now. 2 of them are games on demand games. So that's why they're not deleted. But I deleted 3 games yesterday that I had started, but I'm not going to get a chance to play for a while because of all the other crap I'm playing. So yeah, my hard drive is full. Speaking of which, that's what I played was my 360 got destroyed this week, and I played a lot of stuff.
I want to hear about it.
Oh yeah, well, you're going to have to wait till the end to hear about the good one.
Oh, why you got to do this to me?
Well, I played a ton of arcade games for review. I'm playing Ugly Americans. What's the subtitle? Apocalypse-geddon?
Yeah, something
like that. This is a twin-stick shooter where you pick a character and you basically mow down zombies and birds that tell you to suck their balls.
Nice.
I've never seen the show, but apparently it's very vulgar.
Yes, it is.
Okay, because, like, the birds are flying around, shitting on the ground, and if you step in the shit, it slows you down, and they're always telling you to grab their balls or suck their cock or something. It's just... Yeah. It basically just made my thumb hurt, because you just hold both analog sticks, one in one direction, one in the other, for, like, 30 minutes per level. It's really kind of monotonous.
Huh.
The only thing that's nice about it is it does the Dead Rising system, where if you die, you get to keep all your levels, but you do have to start back at the beginning of the level. So you can basically, like, level up all 4 of the characters. It's definitely built for co-op. I believe it's 4-player co-op online. It's definitely built for that. By yourself, it gets really tedious. I can't imagine it's much more exciting in multiplayer, but it is pretty tedious in single player. Also on XBLA for review, which my review should go live Monday or Tuesday, of Mortal Kombat Arcade, which I was super pumped for. I mean, come on. Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and Ultimate, one package, $10. And as long as you're not playing online, it's not so bad. But if you try to play online, it's pretty terrible. Yeah, there's lag everywhere.
How could they have lag in a game that was in the Super NES game?
I really don't know, but the online is so bad you can count the frames at times.
Jesus.
It's and also there is no if somebody disconnects on you and quits on you, you don't get a win. So yeah, have fun with that. So if you start beating somebody and they quit, it doesn't count against you or account for you. So yeah, that's wonderful. As far as the 3 games are concerned, it was cool, nostalgic to go back and remember all the little glitches you could use to beat the computer, like MK1. The computer cannot block a jump kick, so you just kind of spam that and you can win. MK2, it's all about Raiden, Liu Kang, and Katana. Those are the only three characters I believe it is possible to beat that game with. Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 is pretty much what you had on XBLA. You know, it's not a whole lot different. There are some problems with it. It does have some sound glitches where some of the sound effects will drop out from time to time. Also, the controls have some lag when you pause the game, which is really kind of weird. And the lack of, like, special features really kind of disappointed me, because after Street Fighter 3, with all that extra crap, it was pretty cool. And the only thing this has is the filters, where you can make it look like the arcade cabinet, which I played through MK2 entirely like that, because it was just took me back. But, I mean, if you just want the three games and you just want to play them by yourself or with your friends, like, locally, then it's totally worth $10. But if you're buying this to play online, you're going to be disappointed. Apparently there is a patch in the works, which is nice, but you really shouldn't have to patch a 20-year-old game. I'm just saying.
How's the achievements and trophies? Is it all just one pack, or
It's just one.
Okay.
There's 12 achievements, one for beating each game, one for beating all three, one performing every type of ality, and one for getting like 200 wins, one for winning online, and one for winning flawlessly online. And I think that's it.
Hmm.
So nothing special. The other XBLA game I'm playing is Crimson Alliance, which the press got this week, as well as the people who bought all of the Summer of Arcade games got their codes this week, which I did not know that, because I saw people on my friends list playing it. I'm like, hey, how'd you get this? They're like, oh, well, I bought all four of the games. I'm like, oh, okay. It's very good.
Sweet.
Torchlight, right?
Yeah, it's basically Torchlight Diablo, kind of, but it's a lot simpler. Like, your inventory system, you won't use it very much. You just pull up a menu, switch your item, and go. There's not a lot of loot to pick up. Most of the stuff you get, like armor, swords, and stuff like that, you buy. The coolest thing about this game is actually its pricing structure, if that's even possible. When the game comes out this week, you will be able to buy it for $10 if you only want one class.
Okay.
So, like, if you want to play the assassin entirely, it's $10. If you just want to play the wizard entirely, it's $10. If you want all three classes, it's $15.
Huh.
Well,
I mean that's a really cool pricing structure, because for people who only play through as one character, it's only $10.
This is true. What are you playing as?
I am playing as the assassin.
Okay.
I preferred having ranged combat and fast melee combat, as opposed to the other two, who focused on range, one focused on close.
Yeah.
So, but
how many players is it?
It's up to four online, even though there's only three classes.
Yeah.
Huh. So, but it is very, very good. And it has a lot of elements, like you'll get to a puzzle and it'll be like, you may require two players to complete this puzzle. You know, so you need to play co-op to unlock some of the puzzles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of like Little Big Planet.
Exactly.
Little Big Planet have stuff like that.
Yeah. But if you like Torchlight, Diablo, those kind of games, you definitely need to play this. It's very good. It's very, very good.
Damn it.
Stop
coming out with so many good games.
You're telling me. I have to fucking review all these in 1 week. And John's over there complaining about two.
Joy!
Somehow I pumped out those two reviews. Like, I sat down and like got in the zone whenever I was writing this guy review.
Oh, I finished Madden. I finished my Super Bowl. I think I'm kind of done with the game. I'm ready for real football. I think this will be the first time I only played one season.
Wow.
So, and it's nothing against the game. I think I'm kind of maddened out. Like, I play every year, you know, and I put 20, 30, 40 hours into the game. And this year there's just too much other stuff out, and I don't really have time to start another season and go through it all again. I really enjoyed it, loved it, had a great time.
Finally turned into the Guitar Hero of football games.
Eh, I mean, no and yes at the same time. I guess if I was an online player, it would make a big... It's kind of like Call of Duty. If I was an online player, I probably would still be playing Black Ops, that kind of thing. But I don't play online, so it's just kind of done for me. So, but no, I really enjoyed it, loved it, had a great time with it. It's really well done, outside of the funky glitches that you run into. I finally did play Gatling Gears, because I bought it when it was on sale. And I was kind of burnt out on one game that I will talk about in a minute. And I decided to throw in some stuff that I hadn't played yet. Gatling Gears is decent. It's a twin stick shooter as well. It's got a quirky little art style. It's fun. I guess my biggest issue is when you start the game, like, your bullets don't cover the entire screen, because you got to upgrade that, which is kind of a minor annoyance, but at the same time, it doesn't really bother me. Not a bad game. Definitely worth $5. And I also started Minerva's Den for Bioshock 2. And I don't want to discount it yet, but so far, I don't really see anything super special. But I liked Bioshock 2. So, you know, until it got kind of, you know, monotonous towards the end. I enjoyed Bioshock 2, and this is very similar. Feels about the same so far. I haven't got a ton of plasmids yet, so maybe that's the big kicker, or maybe it's the story. But I think I'll enjoy it. It's only 3 to 4 hours, so I'll probably blast through that at some point. And the last two games that I played, I'm playing for review. One of them I can't talk about until Tuesday, which is Driver. The embargo's not up till Tuesday for that. But I can talk about Dead Island.
Fuck yeah.
Because the embargo...
Wait a minute. You were saying that you couldn't talk about the good stuff? You think I care about Driver? I played the demo.
The game's better than the demo.
Well, why the hell did they release that demo?
I don't know. I will just say that I really enjoy Driver. So.
Wow. Okay.
And trust me, did not expect to. So... That's as much as I'll say about that right now. But Dead Island's embargo ends Monday at 12:01. And we are allowed to talk about it. I have put roughly 7 hours in the game so far. Mm-hmm. And it is nothing like I expected it to be.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a wonderful thing.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of people looked at this and they thought it was going to be Left 4 Dead with melee weapons.
No, I didn't think that at all. I was thinking Borderlands.
It is Borderlands.
That's what I wanted.
It is Borderlands with melee weapons. I mean, down to the T, and it is beautiful. You have skill trees that you level up depending on which character that you picked. It is a totally open world like Borderlands, so you can go anywhere, do anything. All of the enemies in the environment level with you. So they're usually, you know, within one or two levels of you. You can customize your weapons entirely. They all degrade. So the more you slash at somebody with a machete, the more it wears down. Go over to a workbench, start it up, you know, upgrade the weapon. You can also find what are called mods throughout the world, which you can modify your weapons. I experimented a little bit with this yesterday. I took a machete and I put a wire on it and a battery, and I created an electric machete that was decapitating people and electrocuting everyone around me all at once. It was beautiful. The game plays out like Borderlands, where you talk to people, you pick up quests, and you have a massive quest list of things to do. There's just so much. The game is a loot whore's dream. As far as stuff that you pick up objects to construct weapons. You can get weapons, and the weapons are colored like they are in Borderlands. So green is the least powerful. I think purple is the most powerful. And in order to do this, you have to upgrade your skill tree. So you'll run across boxes that are locked, require level 1, 2, or 3 lockpicking. You open them up. Certain enemies you kill drop weapons. I mean, this game is so Borderlands, it's crazy. And that is a great thing. But the only difference is this is all melee. There are guns in the game, but literally in 7 hours I have fired one bullet. And it was to explode a gas canister. I think I've collected maybe 5 bullets total.
Have you died yet?
Yes, several times.
how do they handle dying?
Dying is handled pretty much the same way it is in Borderlands. You die, you pay some money, and you respawn.
Okay.
Pretty much exactly where you were.
Okay.
And all the enemies have the same health that they had when you died. What I love about the combat system is that it is excellent. You can actually opt to play it with the analog stick to swing wherever you want to swing, kind of deal.
Sure. Okay.
But all of the enemies can be incapacitated in every fashion you can imagine. You can cut off their legs, you can cut off their arms. If you're using a baseball bat, you can break their arms, you can break their legs. And it makes the fights easier. One of the things about this game is like the creepy sound. Like when you walk into an area and you know you're about to fight some zombies or something, and you just hear this loud, abrupt scream, and you know it's one of the slow-moving but super powerful zombies that if they hit you, you basically fall on your ass. It is so wonderful. It also has a great co-op model. You can play up to 4 players. And when you're playing the game, it will actually pop up and say, so-and-so is in the area, do you want to join their game? And when you join into their game, obviously, if I'm a level 20 and you're a level 5, my zombies are going to kick your ass.
Okay. Especially like Borderlands.
Exactly. And you may see some spoilers, obviously, because I'm further in the game than you were.
Mm-hmm.
So you may see something that's going on. And I have to say this. I just have to say this. Steve Bloom is making Nolan North look ridiculous. He's in the game.
Uh-huh.
As 2 different characters.
One of them a main character?
Well, they're both main characters. And they both have different accents.
Wait. Don't tell me. Does he play the football player?
No, he doesn't play one of the people in the game that you play as. But he plays one character with an Australian accent, and he plays another character with a Russian accent. And then when you combine that with Garcia Hotspur with a Spanish accent, he is just, yeah. He's the king of voice acting, in my opinion, right now.
So does he sound like a Russian Wolverine and a Australian Wolverine?
A little bit. But it was just kind of funny because I remember seeing you run into him very early in the game as one of the characters. I ran into another character, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's Steve Bloom again. Now he has a Russian accent. It's crazy.
Who are you playing as?
I am playing as the Asian chick because she had great... her skill set was sharp weapons, like swords, machetes, knives.
Okay.
Each character has a specialty. Like... the football player guy is a firearms expert, which will do you a little bit of good.
Wait a minute. Why? He's supposed to be a quarterback. Why isn't he throwing his expertise?
Well, throwing is more of a distraction in this game than it is a... It's more of a strategy, because if you throw your weapon, you lose it, unless you go pick it back up. So, like, I've thrown weapons. I've thrown meat cleavers into zombies just to kind of keep them away from me. But no, I love the diversity of the quests in this game, though. Just for an example, for one quest I had to go pick up some fruit. I had to go to 2 different gas stations, pick up some fruit, and you have to actually put them in the truck and drive them back. Which sounds simple in theory, but when you actually do it in the game, it's pretty cool, because if you can probably run past certain zombies, but once you get overcrowded, and that's kind of the cool thing, is they really did that well. Like, the zombies, one of them by themselves isn't going to do shit to you. But get in a room with about 20 of them, and you're in for some hell. Because they will swarm you, overwhelm you, and there is still nothing more satisfying than when one of the crazy ones comes running at you, and you time it just right to where you swing your blade and his head comes lobbing off. I mean, I've probably done that like 50 times and it's never gotten old. I love it. But no, everything about this game is fantastic. As of right now, it is in my top five of the year.
Wow.
It's so much better than I expected it to be.
Well, here's the thing that there's two reasons. I always, because all the videos I saw, it looked like it controlled wonky. To me, that's what it looked like.
It will take you a little bit to get used to it, and if you're like me, when I first started the game, I had to turn the sensitivity of the turning down.
Okay. And the other thing is, it reminded me of Borderlands. And the problem I had with Borderlands is they had throwaway quests. It was like, basically, if you're sitting there playing WoW, you don't listen to the conversation, you don't do shit. You just say, give me the fucking quest, let me go do it, and I'll come back. And do you have those kind of quests in Dead Island?
Oh, yeah.
So there's just quests that you like, fuck this, I don't want to listen to what this guy has to say, I was going to do his shit and come back.
There are some like that. Like, for instance, one of the quests I had was this girl asked me to go pick up her teddy bear.
Uh-huh.
And what ended up being cool about it was where the teddy bear was, there was another side story in there with this guy that was, like, gone crazy, and he tried to kill me. Like, he attacked me, so I had to kill him, and he wasn't a zombie.
Okay.
So, but yeah, there are throwaway quests where it's like, hey, like, this one girl was crying, she wanted water, and it's a continuous quest, so every time you get a bottle of water, you can take it back to her and get 50 XP.
Oh.
So, but no, it's pretty deep, like, the weapons and all that stuff, everything is pretty deep, and I've gotten to the point now where I'm very good at making sure I repair my weapons every time I come across a workbench. Because your character will actually tell you when the weapon's degrading, like, this weapon ain't doing shit. Then now, you switch to the weapon.
Do you actually, can you do, like, hand-to-hand combat, too, in case your weapon does break?
Yes, you have your fists, and you also can kick anytime, even when you have a weapon equipped.
Okay.
And the kick is mostly just to push the zombies back, but you can use your fists to actually punch the zombies as well.
Okay.
So, no, fantastic game. Cannot wait. As far as future fondling, more of that. A lot more of that.
Dude, I'm going to be online all Tuesday night, so me and you need to co-op some.
Oh, yeah. I will definitely jump into some games with with anybody. It's a blast. It really is a lot of fun. It's the new Borderlands for me, and I put a lot of time in Borderlands. So, I am very excited about this game. It's very, very good. And that pretty much wraps it up. Alright, now that the Fond du Line is over, it's time to do some of the news. I'm going to skip over most of the Call of Duty stuff because Mike already talked a lot about that. It was a huge event, lots of stuff announced, so just a great weekend for Activision and apparently Microsoft, because Sony wanted nothing to do with that. Anyway, speaking of Microsoft and Sony, there was a quote that went out this week from Sony saying that publishers are getting the living crap kicked out of them by Microsoft. And they think what Microsoft are doing is protecting an inferior technology.
What?
That's just crap talk right there.
Yeah, that is crap talk. Because I read this, and apparently Eurogamer got a hold of the memo that goes out to publishers for Microsoft's policies for content submission and release. And basically it says that the game has to be released on 360 at the same time as the other platforms, and the 360 version must have at least as much content on the disc as other platforms. And if they don't comply, the game cannot be released on 360.
Okay.
I don't see the issue with that. I can understand why they would want that, because you don't want to be outdone by another console. That just sounds like smart business. It may not be fair, but it sounds like smart business.
It sounds like smart business, but it also makes them sound like a little bitch.
Well, yeah, it does, but I'm sure there's a memo inside Sony that makes them sound like a bitch, and a memo inside Nintendo that, well, they don't need a memo.
They just sound crazy.
Yeah, they're just nuts. So, anyway, I don't know. It's... I think we're really getting to that point in the system cycles where it's time to start yelling at each other because we want to finish out our sales strong. So, whatever. If it's time for the mudslinging, it's time for the mudslinging because we've got two new candidates coming up in the next 2 years, you know?
I think so.
It's just like the presidential election. We've got two new candidates coming out, you know, PlayStation 4, Xbox, whatever number, 720, 480. 1080p.
I wonder what they're gonna call it, yeah.
If they call it 720, it'll sound inferior because, you know, 1080p is the king.
Yeah.
Anyway. Snatcher Radio Drama's first act is now available, but it's only in Japanese.
Sweet.
You can't read Japanese. Nor can you understand Japanese, so you could listen to it and you'd be like, this is wonderful.
Konnichiwa.
I think.
Yeah.
The first Deus Ex DLC has been discovered. It's called The Missing Link, and it will be available next month. It's basically going to follow Adam Jensen, and I hear that they're going to remove all of his upgrades. Nice. So you got to start over, basically. So should be interesting. A new Dragon Quest game is supposedly going to be revealed tonight, which will be a yesterday night when this goes live. Square Enix is going to announce the new game in Japan.
Sweet. Pretty big deal over there.
Oh, yeah. One thing Mike didn't mention from the event is, he did mention that there's no Prestige Edition of Modern Warfare 3 yet, but there is a exclusive console controller and a headset all coming. The 360 exclusive console will come bundled with two controllers, a copy of the game, and a 320-gig hard drive and run for $399.99.
You know, that's not a bad price.
No, not for everything that's in that box. It's no. Really not. I don't really care for the way it looks, but like every other 360 console, it also has exclusive sounds for when you open the tray and power it on, all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah, just like the Halo console did.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Call of Duty Elite is $50 a year. Get you all the DLC, all that good stuff, lots of extra features. It's really a good deal. It's kind of like the season pass to the next level, which I saw a lot of people throwing a fit over a certain season pass that we'll probably talk about later.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad deal. It's really not. Xbox Live Gold subscriptions are largely driven by retail over in Europe. More than two-thirds of European gold buyers buy the subscription at a retail store.
Hmm.
So scrolling down. Capcom really wants to partner with overseas developers. So they're looking more into some American developers, maybe?
Yep. Because they... That's what they're into now.
April's PSN breach hasn't stopped 3 million new users from signing up. I have no issue with PR and stuff like that, but seriously, PSN is free. Anybody who bought a PS3 is probably going to sign up.
Probably multiple accounts, too.
Exactly. So I don't understand what the big deal is. It's just like Microsoft saying they have, what, like 50 million Xbox Live users. They're counting silver. Dude, it's free. Tell me how many people actually pay for the service, and I'll be impressed. It's just like, tell me how many PlayStation Plus members there are. You notice I've never heard of that number. It's a paid service. When you tell me how much people, like, when people say there are 8 million WoW subscribers or whatever, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's people paying $15 a month.
Isn't it 12 now, though?
Oh, I'm sure it just grows every day.
they're actually going into a decline.
Yeah, that's why they did the free thing, where you can get to level 20 for free.
Yep.
Call of Duty, Black Ops map packs. 18 million map packs were sold to 23 million owners in the 9 months since the game has come out.
Ouch.
Really?
That's a fuckload of maps.
How many copies of that game sold?
A lot, dude. A lot more than that.
18 million?
Dude, they estimate Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is going to push, I think, somewhere upwards of 70 to 90 million copies.
And Shadows of the Dam sold 25,000 copies. What the fuck is wrong with this world?
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of maps. Star Trek Online free-to-play model is in the works. You'll be able to play the game for free by the end of the year.
Did it get... They got bought out by Perfect World, didn't they?
I don't know.
I thought Perfect World bought them out. The same people did Forsaken World. They own Cryptic, too, now.
They're just buying up everybody.
They're buying up everybody and making them free to play, which is, I think, is what they should do.
Let's see here. Players are going to be able to decide how Star Wars Galaxies comes to an end. You can take part in the final portion of the Galactic Civil War and decide which side will win.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool for people who have kind of stuck with the game the entire time.
Yeah.
I know Drew was all giddy, but they announced Persona 4, the Ultimate in Mayonaka Arena. It's a fighting game developed by the guys who did Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear Arc System Works. And being co-developed by Atlus.
I think that's going to be awesome.
Looks pretty sweet.
It looks flashy, so I think that's going to be awesome. Plus, they also announced Persona 4 coming to the PS Vita.
PS Vita. Much to Gambus Khan's disappointment, you cannot shoot civilians in Battlefield 3.
Oh.
So no women with baby carriages?
Yeah, you can't eat women with baby carriages with a worm. And here's the reason why. Quoted, if you put the player in front of a choice where they can do good things or bad things, they will do bad things. So there you go.
Yeah, that's nice.
Here's one. I swear I had to take a double take when I read this. Juan Chanbara is coming back to the 360.
Juan Chanbara?
Yes. So you now will be able to fight zombies with bikini vampire chicks. Which I know is Gambus.
Motherfucking right minds would want a sequel to that piece of shit.
Gambus Khan is all excited about the bikini vampire chicks.
No.
That was fighting vampires now?
No, you are a bikini vampire chick, apparently, according to this article, and you're fighting zombies.
I left that life a long time ago.
No, you didn't. It's your secret life now. Fatal Frame is making a comeback. In a game called Shinrai Camera, and it's for the 3DS.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Thing is, sound is so much an important part of the Fatal Frame series, and to those of you who own a regular DS on 3DS, the 3DS sound is like the same amount of volume as like the midpoint of a regular DS. So, you're going to have to at least play it with earbuds.
Doesn't everybody play portables with earphones?
I don't.
Well, nah. I do.
I do about half the time.
All right. Toshihiro Nagoshi announces a new studio and a new Yakuza spinoff. And apparently Yakuza 5 is also coming.
That's awesome.
So, he's still Yakuzing it up.
Yakuza 5 was already out, though. It's the one with the zombies.
I didn't think they actually numbered that one, though.
They didn't number that one?
I'm not for sure. I just thought that was called Yakuza something, not Yakuza 5.
Oh, okay. Yes, Of the End is what it's called.
As we talked about earlier, the 3DS Ambassador NES games are now available for download, so you can go download your free 10 games if you can figure out how to do it. September continues to pile up. Burnout Crash will be released on September 20th. We talked about Persona 4 and the Persona fighting game. Gabe Newell came out this week and said that Portal 2 did better on PCs than consoles. Left 4 Dead was the opposite. And a lot of people spawned the first question, does that count the copies that came with the PS3 version? And I don't believe there's been an answer to that yet.
Yes.
If it did, then that's kind of a false number.
What else is new? Video game companies falsifying information?
Yeah. We just talked about that earlier in the whole PlayStation Network subscriptions. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, I logged on, created a gamer tag, which you forced me to do when I turn the system on anyway, and then I connect to the internet. Oh, look, you're a number. Anyway. Metroid Other M Samus figures coming in 2012 from Tomopop and Tokyo Hunter.
Oh.
So, there you go. Child of Eden is getting bundled with Kinect. A free downloadable copy of the shooter will be packed in with Kinect, which is pretty freaking awesome. That's sweet. One of the best games on the system, by far. In probably the worst PR stunt I've ever seen, Kevin Butler left Sony and he came back with a new campaign called Long Live Play. It was kind of like he left, nobody really cared, he came back, and people cared less. Because I think,
awesome.
I think just like everything else, everybody's kind of tired of Kevin Butler.
Man, just... He's the guy in the commercials. It's like, I don't know.
It was neat. It was a good campaign, but I think it's gone on a little too long.
Yeah, it's like
it's kind of like the Where's the Beef lady from the 80s.
Dude, we still talk about that. It's totally not like that. you could still say Where's the Beef and people go, ah.
I'm trying to imagine what's a reused thing over and over again. Smiling Bob, I can't stand that motherfucker.
Or how about this? What's up?
Oh, great. Bring back 1991.
Yeah.
Wow, that was not 91.
Anyway.
That was like 97, 98.
Whatever. Something else from the 90s that I choose to forget. Why don't you just bring back the Budweiser frogs for fuck's sake? Seriously. Anyway. Radiant Silvergun is finally getting a release date on XBLA. It will be out on September 14th.
Excellent. Must buy.
So, there you go. Finally, after 2 years of talking about it, it's coming out.
Took them long enough.
Twister Mania for Kinect will turn you into a pretzel. I want to know how you do Twister on Kinect. Don't you have to, like, be on the floor for Twister?
You're just gonna...
Generally, like, yes.
Mime stuff.
You're gonna mime stuff? That's kind of stupid.
Hey, that's what...
They should make a Kinect mime game.
They should. Dude, I'd play that.
Yep. For 5 minutes.
Yep,
pretty much. That's the only thing Kinect games are good for, about 5 minutes.
It'd be funny.
Kinect.
It'd be funny if it was a Burger King game that was the last ditch effort of the Burger King icon character.
Oh, the Burger King.
Yeah, they get rid of him.
We're gonna miss you.
It's probably good thing. Battlefield 3 will not use Steamworks, but apparently Call of Duty will. So it will use Steamworks for achievements, patching, and everything else.
Will Battlefield 3 even be on Steam?
No, probably not.
We knew this then. I mean,
but we didn't know Call of Duty was going to be on Steam.
All the other ones are.
That's pretty big news.
They're not owned by EA.
No.
They're owned by Bobby Kotick.
Bobby Kotick?
I call him Kotick.
Like a Kodak moment?
Exactly.
Oh, he's going to get you with the Kodak disc. Anyway.
I wonder if he was at the XP thing.
Yes, he was. Apparently, I saw somebody tweet that he was sitting in a box with models.
Oh, what a surprise.
Really?
He's pimping it out, dude. Come on.
Pimping it.
Is he one of those kind of guys?
I don't know. Wouldn't you be if you sold 18 million map packs?
Yeah, that's true. Just the fucking map packs alone. But I don't know. He doesn't strike me as, I'm a badass. I think he just strikes me as, like, that really mean-ass boss who sits in the corner all the time and just tries to figure out ways to fire people.
See, I don't think that's who he is.
Yeah, well.
I think that's who we portray him as.
Yeah.
We already talked about the Crimson Alliance pricing model, which I think is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is going on? Here we go. Here's the season pass I was referring to earlier. Gears of War is getting a season pass. It's $30. And you get the first, I believe, 4 DLC packs.
Damn, how much do they have?
Oh, a ton, I'd imagine. There were 19 maps for Gears of War 2.
Really?
God. Yes. Because if you buy the All Fronts pack, you got all 19 of them. Cliff Bleszinski said on Twitter that the 4 DLC packs referenced in the season pass aren't just new multiplayer maps. There will be new campaign content, and he emphasized the new part. It won't be stuff that's been cut out. And a lot of people threw a big fit over this. They're like, I'm not paying $90 for Gears. I'm like, yeah, but if you don't pay for the season pass and you do buy the DLC, you're paying $110 for Gears.
Right.
So who's the idiot here? If you plan on buying the DLC, it's a great deal. If you don't buy the season pass. You know, that's...
Don't buy Gears.
Yeah, that's the way these season passes work. If you plan on buying the DLC, it's a killer deal. If you don't.
Holy shit, though, dude. Come on, man. 19 maps and they're already planning all this stuff?
Well, that's the model nowadays. Every game plans DLC.
I know I'm beating a dead fucking horse, but seriously, I mean, not even PlayStation 2 didn't have that shit, man. I mean, come on.
PlayStation 2 didn't have online that worked.
Okay. All right. How many Xbox games that were on Xbox Live had that much DLC? Halo had, what, like 5 maps?
That was back before DLC was big.
I know that, but man, this is just... They're finding new ways to rip us off.
How is that ripping you off? If they're adding new content down the line, how is that ripping you off? I think the Gears of War 3...
The bad thing is that they're planning on it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, of course they're planning on it. Okay, here's the funny thing that I find about this, and I know Wombat will remember this conversation. When DLC was first announced, what was the first thing we said? Awesome. They can put in new characters in games. They can put in new maps in games. And,
right.
And now, 2 years later, we're bitching about it.
That's because they're not doing it.
They are doing it.
If you talk about Capcom, they're not. I mean, they charge you for fucking colors.
That's dumb DLC.
Back in the day, you used to get those colors for free.
Yeah, but you didn't get new maps for free. You didn't get new characters for free. Yeah. DLC for costumes, yeah, it's stupid. It's for people who just want it. You know, I think, what was it, the original Dead or Alive had like 20 costumes per character, and nowadays you'd have to buy them. Except on the 3DS, you got them for free. You know, Capcom charges for costumes, yeah. Okay, we understand that one sucks.
Shadow Battle.
Nobody counts Shadow Battle.
You're all about the Shadow Battle.
Because it's stupid.
Well, then you don't buy it.
You hate the Shadow Battle.
Of course it's stupid.
Had anybody ever tried to play the Shadow Battles? They won't attack you unless you move toward them.
Well, of course. Nobody cares about Shadow Battles, man. We're talking about maps.
Why did they release like 20 of them?
Because some dumbass bought them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not their fault that some dumbass bought them. Come on. Was it James Franco is selling invisible art?
That's true.
And you called him a smart businessman. You're being a little hypocritical right here.
If he can trick somebody into spending $50,000 on invisible art, the dude's a fucking genius.
Well, guess what? Capcom's fucking geniuses because they got some dumbass to buy Shadow Battles enough to make like 8 of them.
Shadow Battle.
So there you go. I'm sorry, but I don't have a problem with DLC as long as it's maps and characters and new single-player content, which has been great.
This is true. This is true. I mean, I bash it, but hell, I buy it. I mean, come on. I spent $30 on freaking Oblivion's Shivering Isles,
but that thing was worth $30. That could have stood on its own as its own game.
That's very true.
So, you know...
I'll shut up.
For every single... What is that? Dante's Inferno? That really crappy, like, 20-minute DLC?
Oh, God.
There's
I got that for free because I got the special edition.
There's also, like, these Gears of War map packs that come out with, like, 4 maps that people will play for endless hours, so...
Look at those Call of Duty maps, dude. There's 4 maps for $15.
And it sold 18 million copies.
And the bad thing is that some of them are rehashed freaking maps.
Yeah? And you know how many times we've requested that?
Yeah. How many times do we want to play Carentan except they remodeled it and made it look like China?
Well, exactly. How many times did we say we wanted the facility from GoldenEye? And guess what? They gave it to us in Perfect Dark Zero. So there you go. Anyway. New Professor Layton. It's 100-hour RPG and Tetris Axis all dated. They're talking about Japanese games that we'll probably never see. Professor Layton and the Last Spectre is the 4th game in the Layton series. It's been in Japan for almost 2 years now. And
yeah,
it's finally
like 3 years behind.
It's finally coming out to the DS on North America on October 17th. Oh, here's a news story I'm going to love. Skyward Sword is getting a special edition, which I am so buying.
Comes with the Wiimote.
Comes with the Wiimote Plus, and it's gold. It's even got the, it's even got the little Zelda logo on it, and it comes with the 25th Anniversary Orchestra Concert Special CD. And it's only $70. I will buy the hell out of that.
That is a pretty good deal.
Totally
buy
that.
I still had a Wii,
am I? Totally buy that shit. Seriously. And I think that's the last story that I have. Let's see, what are we at on time? Ooh, we're getting deep. I think I'm going to have to skip the questions. Although I do have to say that if you are on the forums, you need to go look at Eeyore Kara's post. I promise I will get to your question next week, but you have to go look at the post just so you can see the picture of John's tissue box.
Yeah, thanks for that. Very well done.
He's also the same guy that did the Gambus iPhone wallpaper.
Been immortalized in a tissue box. Fantastic.
You're the one who wanted to be on the show.
You know,
ups and downs.
I want one of those boxes.
I want one of those iPhone wallpapers of you in the van. As you kiss it and says, you got some candy. Which might be the greatest picture I've ever seen. Anyway. I'm going to head over to the Twitter. Mookie's Groove says that there is no new game plus on Deus Ex Human Revolution. But if he is wrong, we can correct him, which I haven't beat it yet, so no clue. And Michael, who is not here this week, just wanted to chime in about our discussion last week and tell everyone that I am right. Zelda is going to be big.
I agree.
Is it
bigger than Skyrim?
I think it will be.
I just can't see that. Skyrim's
right.
On three different systems.
I mean, it's one of those things where it'll probably, because Skyrim's on multiple platforms, Skyrim might sell more. But for only being on one platform, Zelda will be enormous.
Yeah.
So how many copies do you think it'll sell?
Zelda?
Yeah.
Overall?
Just an estimate.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Okay, so we got 60 million Call of Duties. How many Zeldas?
Call of Duty won't sell 60 million in the first.
No, I mean, I don't know. Probably not that many, because it's not on multiple platforms, again. But it will sell millions and millions of copies.
Yeah, I think the first month we'll see Zelda damn near a million. Call of Duty 3 to 4 million would be my guess.
Skyrim will be in the millions?
Not in the first month.
I think it will be.
See, I don't think it will be.
Hey, I tell you what Skyrim has over Zelda. Graphically, you'll be able to walk through walls. I don't think you'll be able to do that in Zelda.
Oh, Gambus, you're going to get beat down by the Bethesda community.
You could walk through walls and you just might get stuck in them, too. I don't know.
And your head might spin around like Linda Blair from The Exorcist. Oh, that's funny. Anyway, Mookie's Groove also says, it's really important nowadays to consider the price of a game when you make a review about it. Be a smart gamer. Given that you guys always mention the price tag, props to that. I agree with that. That's always been one of my things.
Well, I think it's a big part of...
Good Christ.
What is funny?
Okay, well, I'll look at it later.
Okay.
That's not Will Smith.
Will Smith didn't say that, either.
No, he did, but that's not Will Smith. Seriously. What's wrong with you, man?
That's my background.
Really? Okay. Lawrence Fishburne. Fucking idiot. Anyway. Radio PM put in a couple tweets. I did tweet that the show would go on as long as we didn't get killed by the storm, which we got a storm moving through. He wanted to know where we were that we'd get killed. Obviously, it was in Ohio. He also says, I need some ideas for games for me and my fiance can play couch co-op. Hit me with some games. Bought Ultimate Alliance 2.
Ultimate Alliance 1 was better.
There's no doubt about that.
Remarkably so.
There's a lot of good couch co-op
Hamilton,
games.
That's a couch co-op game. That's quite good if you like puzzle games.
I'm trying to think.
If you get a PS3, I'm telling you right now, Chime Super Deluxe, you might write it off, but that multiplayer is actually really fun.
The Left 4 Dead games are all split screen, as is Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Is
Borderlands split screen?
I thought it was.
I'm pretty sure it is. Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't know. I thought it was, too. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. Well, those are all good ones.
What else?
Any of that top-down stuff. Isn't Torchlight couch co-op?
It is no co-op in Torchlight.
Oh, that's right. Maybe Crimson Alliance has couch co-op, so...
There you go.
You can play that this week. Mm-hmm. Portal 2 is couch co-op, split-screen.
I mean, any music game, if you're still into the music game stuff...
Any fighting game as well.
Yeah. That's a good question.
So lots of good stuff out there. Mm-hmm. Any of the Mario Karts. Those are always good. Or Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers is good, yeah.
So any of those are good. He also says, where are the Tenchu games this generation? I'm leaning more towards the first game, not the others after it. That's probably why there's no more Tenchu games.
Yeah. I think they just said we're not done.
Yeah, Tenchu Z was the only one that came out this gen, and it wasn't all that good.
Yeah.
Where'd you go? Ninja.
They sounded like that in Stealth Assassin. Though.
I know, but it's still awesome. Ninja, where you go? He also says feudal Japan was a cool time period that has been getting overlooked. How about Assassin's Creed in feudal Japan for the win?
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be going back in time as opposed to catching up?
Gotta get back in time.
When was feudal Japan?
Well, during the Crusades, wasn't it? I want to say feudal Japan lasted all the way up till the Tom. I can't believe I'm going to even mention this. The Tom Cruise movie Last Samurai.
Samurai. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
what's wrong with that movie? That was a good movie.
I love the movie. It's just that the name Tom Cruise is kind of like a joke nowadays. But
it's got Tom Cruise in it.
Yeah, but
he doesn't pack fudge.
But I think the feudal period lasted all the way until they started using guns.
When did they start using guns, Gambus?
I want to say late 1800s, maybe.
All right.
They were using guns well before the late 1800s.
Yeah.
They were using fireworks back then.
Anyway, H-Dogger agreed with Portal 2. Said if you haven't gone, it's really cheap.
Just quick. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Just quickly. Feudal Japan, 1185 to 1868.
God almighty.
So, late 1800s.
So you could get away with it in Assassin's
Creed.
It
was during feudal Japan times.
There you go. The next Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That would literally be like a new Tenchu.
Yeah, it would. Actually, now you think about it, he'd just be a ninja.
Exactly. Dude, oh, God, I'd play the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Numero 6 says, hi, this is the French guy. Always listening to your great show on the old continent. My question, where the fuck are the 3DS games?
There's 10 of them that you can download for free if you're an ambassador.
Those aren't 3DS games, John. Those are NES games.
Oh, games for your 3DS, then. And I was making a joke.
I know, I'm giving you a hard time. He says, besides Mario Incoming and always a Mario Kart, it's a shame. What about Star Fox?
Star Fox just came out.
No love for Star Fox, man. Come on.
And Double Survivor.
Yeah, oh, that came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he won't get that. He won't get that in France. Because we're not getting it in Europe, so.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad. Like that.
That sucks.
Fixer says, I'm really liking Crimson Alliance. Yeah, he was one of the guys I saw playing it. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he asked, did we discuss the pricing structure, which we did. And finally, and I meant to tell you guys this at the beginning of the show, but Killer Wolverine actually wanted to be on the show today.
Uh-huh.
But he had to work.
Ooh. Hey!
He said, working during a 3-day weekend sucks hairy bean bags.
Hey, yes. It's better than not working.
This is true.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I got to work tomorrow, too, so whatever.
Yeah, same here. I got to go to work tonight, and I got off work probably, about 5 hours ago.
Dude, I haven't been to work since Friday.
Yeah, I got off work at 7 a.m. this morning.
I haven't been to work since the Friday before last.
Oh, you're on vacation.
Yeah.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Tomorrow.
What is a vacation?
It's an awesome thing.
It's one of those things you get when you're a baller.
That's right.
Yeah. Baller's got 2 weeks vacation. I can never use them.
I think I got 6 weeks of vacation.
Holy cow.
It's awesome. And M. Futter says, my apologies for the airport noise. Hope that the XP 2011 reporting made up for it. It did indeed, sir. We hope you are sleeping well on the plane.
Yep.
Because I done wore him out. He'd never been to a convention, and you have no idea how tiring those things are until you go to one.
He went to PAX, did he?
I don't know if he's been to PAX or not. I didn't think he had.
I thought he went to PAX last year with the old website.
His old website?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know.
Zombie Frog. He used to work for Zombie Frog.
No, I went to PAX this year, and God, I forgot how much that crap wears you out.
Really?
I was about ready to fall over by the time I came home. You just walk constantly.
Yep.
It's so tiring. It's so loud. Dude, when you eat, that's the best food you will ever eat. And it's usually crap. It literally is usually crap. But it's so, you're so hungry that it's so good.
Corn dog off the street. Oh, my God, this is delicious.
I think at PAX, I had a ham and cheese sandwich on a pretzel bun and a bag of M&Ms. And it was the greatest fucking thing I've ever had.
You know, that actually does sound pretty good.
Oh, you have no idea how good it was after I'd been walking for like 5 hours. Oh, I scarfed the shit out of that sumbitch.
Food's always better when you're hungry, man.
Oh, God, yeah. That's why I love going when I'm starving.
Yeah.
Always makes the food that much better.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that eats just because it's the right time of day to eat. I like to eat when I'm hungry.
Yeah. It always makes it so much better. Anyway, that's the end of that conversation. That's the end of the Twitter, and that's the end of the show. So, Mr. Gambus Khan, I'm sure you have some shout-outs that you want to do.
Yes. I'll give a shout-out to the All Gen Gamers podcast for people who want to listen to a podcast about retro games and modern games as well. All Gen Gamers podcast is excellent. For those of you who are into the interview type of podcast, the Front Towards Gamer podcast is an incredible show. Shanghai Six is a really awesome host, and he gets to interview a lot of really cool people all the time. Let me see here. For those of you who want to listen to a podcast that's pretty much all about Japanese gaming, listen to the Red Sun Gamer podcast. Really awesome show. Really informative as well. They have little lessons on like Japanese phrases and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. And that concludes my shout outs.
Snap.
Boom.
Do we have anything else?
We have some reviews.
Oh,
sweet!
Booyah.
I have to mention this to Rowdy Maine, because he changed his review again.
That's rowdy, man.
We do have a forum. I just want to let you know that. And you can leave us comments and questions there on the forum.
And we have the Twitter.
Because this is what he said. 5-star review. Call of Duty effect. I've been listening to you guys for 2 years, and I have heard you guys review SOCOM in the past. I heard you say it's more of a simulation shooter. I just don't understand why Zipper would make SOCOM 4 more like Call of Duty and take away all of the great objectives and gameplay the older SOCOM had. More SOCOMers play Confrontation than SOCOM 4 because it's Duty.
Because it's Duty. Ooh, nice pun.
I know is a required taste, but when you have a clan and are playing ladder matches, it's really fun. Zipper sold out on the almighty dollar, and we're trying to get that money, boy. Peace to all my old school SOCOM heads.
See, I think Zipper tried to kind of go to that crowd with Mag, and it flopped.
Yeah, they
have to make money.
Yeah.
Or SOCOM 4 flop too, so.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Zipper. They're a really good developer.
You know, Mag had a decent concept, but
I loved Mag. I played the shit out of Mag.
And I found it was boring.
Oh, I loved it. I played the crap out of that game when it first came out.
Same here.
I liked Mag. I just didn't play enough of it. It's still sitting on my shelf.
That's funny because that's the game I made the most fun of when they announced it. Because it was called Massive Action Game.
Yeah, it's lame, but I mean, I don't know. I thought it had a decent concept. I thought it was poorly executed, to be honest with you.
Damn, I love that game. I had a blast with that game. That's one of the last really big online games I got kind of deep into for a little while.
But the next review is from Ranix 1991.
That's when he was born.
Uh-huh.
I'm old. Whenever I hear somebody was born in the 90s, I feel old.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoever this person is probably 20 years old.
I know, but that makes me feel old.
Yeah.
This is very true. It's a 5-star review, and it says, "These guys creep me out."
we're doing our job, then.
Sweet.
So they talk about video games, but it feels like they are all podcasting from windowless vans outside of middle school scattered around the world, waiting for the
builders.
But they are a lot of fun to listen to, at least until school's out.
Apparently we're all pedophiles. That's
a little scary. I don't really appreciate that insinuation.
Where's your proof? You got no proof.
I got Gambus's license plate number. Watch out, son.
It's registered to a fake name.
Oh, it's registered to a fake name?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Never find him.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Well, I guess that's everything, isn't it?
I guess it is.
All right, so Mr. Khan, if you're willing to do your thing...
And it goes something like this.
Epic fail. Welcome to the N4G podcast.
This is going to be a very interesting episode.
Gather time!
Greetings, programs! I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat!
I always
been angry. Killer Wolverine!
no bad boys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon. 8.0.
Killed the dragon.